We have been woofed.
Woof.com.
The office jests, poor, but that this is their entire business model. That's what they do.
Poor
it's basically
Pam.
Woof.
She invested in woof.com.
Uh-huh. Woof. It just tweeted, text, faxed,
emailed. Set up fax.
Because yeah, the fax machines are going.
Woof.com.
After Chuck Norris was born, he drove his mother home from the hospital.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome. We now have more episodes than Walker, Texas Ranger. Please give it up for your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hi, I'm Darren.
I am Mike.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome, Cincinnati's comedy podcast. This is episode 204.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You're upset.
I was in a really, really bad mood when you saw me over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week, remember...
our Front of Kroger podcast.
Yeah, do you remember the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Mm.
That was a comedy compared to the mood I was in. That was Tim Conway and Don Knotts and the Apple Dumpling Gang compared to me, the mood I was in.
You were upset.
I was mad. Yeah. And I don't get that mad.
Mm. Man, if you want to appear tan, just wear a white shirt. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I am practically alabaster now because we're just coming out of winter. But with this shirt on, well, I look like I just came off of the, I just got done surfing.
The first time I ever heard the word alabaster was because of
just
the police.
Okay.
When you find your servant is your master and then you will be wrapped around your finger. That's the lyric to.
A police song has alabaster in this lyric. I never did like the police.
Really?
I do like one or two
that
songs.
That surprises
songs.
Me.
I like Every Breath You Take.
Uh-huh.
Every little thing she does is magic. And what's the other one?
Do-do-do-do-da-da-da. Roxanne.
I hate Roxanne.
Don't Stand So Close to Me.
I tell you what. I would erase the police from history to get rid of Roxanne.
Yeah.
And I would give up every little breath she takes.
Every breath you take.
Mm-hmm. Because really,
that's
a creepy song.
It is.
People get upset about the I Want to Bang You on Christmas song.
It's cold outside.
Let's get naked.
I Want to Bang You at Christmas.
Yeah. People get upset about that one, but Every Little Breath You Take just gets a pass.
Uh-huh.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sting even said.
Man.
Sting said he heard that people played Every Breath You Take at their wedding. He's like, what? Really?
Yeah. It's,
okay.
It's the same thing as, With or Without You, people do that. And it's like, no, that's not a good song to do at your wedding. That's a very bad song to do at your wedding. Or when Ronald Reagan did Born in the USA.
He also,
or The Little Pink Houses.
He used Pink Houses against Mellencamp's wishes.
It's like,
Mellencamp, stop using my song. Listen to the lyrics.
Yeah. It's like, let's have a school rally and play Jeremy. No.
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 When I did corporate video production, we did local people who worked in healthcare. It was healthcare heroes. That's what it was.
Did you use Dr. Feelgood as the background music?
I'm surprised they didn't pick that. So it was healthcare heroes.
Uh-huh.
So they were recognizing all these local healthcare heroes, and they wanted to use, I suggested using Healing Hands by Elton John.
Okay.
Great song.
Okay.
We'd find an instrumental and we would cut out the verses.
Elton John's songs are great songs.
Yeah, yes. And they're like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We wanted to use How to Save a Life because it's, you know, and so I went and I listened to the lyrics about How to Save a Life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all about a guy who wished that his best friend hadn't committed suicide.
Oh.
And he would have stopped it had he known how to save a life.
Yeah, okay.
And I had to call him. I'm like, you don't want to use this song.
No.
They're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we used Healing Hands by Elton John.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is Know Your Music by Uncle Darren.
It's important. You can really twist the teat the wrong way.
if you don't know
what you're doing. Everybody should have at least one friend who knows all the songs.
Yes.
And can say, see, for me, that's Dan,
my
friend Dan.
Yeah, I know Dan. We've met.
If I were ever running for office, I'd be like, Dan, I think I want to use Karma Police for my campaign song. And he'd be like, no, you don't want to use the fascist police song for your for your political,
right.
pick something else.
Okay.
And then he would give options of mm-hmm. what I could pick.
Yeah.
And then I'll live here and everyone can hear it. I would call you as well.
Yes.
I would want your opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't listen to it, but you would want to hear it.
No, I would put Dan's opinion above yours just because Dan is like the Rayman. Okay. I've said it before and I will say it again.
Yeah.
If I were asked to write my own autobiography, I would have to say, no, we should have Dan write it.
Okay. Because
he knows more about my life than I do. He remembers photographically facts.
Yeah.
About, like, if you want to document my college experience, he knows what I was wearing.
Well, you guys have known each other for what, 30 years now, right?
Is that, since 93. Yeah.
32 years.
Holy
God. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've known Fancher longer than Dan.
Yeah.
But if I were in a room with Dan mm-hmm. and Fancher, and what was I wearing on August 3rd, 1994? And what stupid did I say?
Well, that's a U2 t-shirt.
Yeah, you wore a U2 t-shirt and you were making your puppet make fun of people from uh-huh. your room window, which I did.
And you had a jar of grape jelly beans.
I had a puppet called Mr. Wendell. He was a frog.
In college?
Yeah.
Okay.
When else are you going to have a puppet named Mr. Wendell?
Okay. You had a hand puppet in college named Mr. Wendell.
Yeah.
A frog.
A frog.
And what, the girls would come over and you'd let them meet Mr. Wendell? Or?
No, you got to know me for a long time before you meet Mr. Wendell. I don't just pull him out for any floozy walking by.
So I'm intrigued. Okay.
It's Mr. Wendell.
Mr.
To
Wendell.
You. Yeah.
Bitch.
This is not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a spotted frog.
Would you have like girls in the dorm and then they would meet Mr. Wendell seriously? Or.
I had Mr. Wendell uh-huh. in the dorm. I had Mr. Wendell here.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Wendell went wherever I was living at the time. That's okay. where Mr. Wendell was.
And where is Mr. Wendell now?
I don't know.
You've lost Mr.
Wendell.
I've
lost Mr. Wendell. I haven't lost Daffy. I had a Daffy Duck.
Okay.
And he was in the dashboard of my Trans Am that we talked about
right,
way too many times.
Yeah.
And so I had Daffy fit uh-huh. right. The dashboard for the Trans Am. If I'm sitting in the Trans Am right now,
mm-hmm.
the windshield went out to about where those stairs are. It was like way.
Yes. I remember.
I was in a wreck. Some uh-huh. lady hit me and Molly, we called her Beaky, was in the front seat. It threw her in and she got wedged in there.
Uh-huh.
And I had to retch forward and pull her out. It wasn't uh-huh. like now if like marbles or booba gets thrown to the windshield, it's just like, okay.
Right.
Because there's right there. But this thing was like, you know, throw a line and she pulls, you know, it was like, anyway, the point, Daffy,
uh-huh.
I had him on the dashboard of the car. Okay. And
was was Daffy a puppet a
duck,
also?
Daffy Duck.
Or a stuffed woo, animal? Woo,
woo. Yeah. Stuffed animal.
Okay. Stuffed animal.
And I hit the brakes and he went, and his beak stuck right in there and it was uh-huh. awesome. You have this black Trans Am, no other weird things, but there's a Daffy Duck sitting right there in the front.
Okay.
Not Mr. Wendell.
But you don't know what happened to Mr. Wendell.
I don't.
Okay. Now, when
Mr. Wendell, you remember the story about the waters with Missy when we went around and got all the waters?
Yes.
And then Mr. Wendell was with us that night. He was part of that. He partook in that.
Now, when Libby and I were dating, uh-huh. we went to Knoxville and we're walking around the Easttown Mall. In Knoxville, there's the Easttown Mall and there's the Westtown Mall.
Okay.
Easttown Mall's a little bit nicer. I don't know. They're both fine.
Yeah.
So we were at the Easttown Mall, we're walking around.
Every town has two malls.
Yes. Yeah. Well, except for Johnson City, then it has the mall.
Okay.
That's just what it's called.
Yeah. Proctorville. We had the mall.
The mall.
Yeah.
So we're at the Easttown Mall in Knoxville, and we go into one of those stores, and it has all the puppets, and Libby's off looking at some necklaces or jewelry or something. I get this monkey puppet, and I put it on my hand, and I start waving at her, and then acting all cute.
And
signaling her over, and she comes over, and he gives her a hug, and he's trying to tell her all these, and pointing, and she's like captivated with this. With this puppet, right?
Did she think it was a real monkey?
She talked to it like it's a real puppet, like it's a real monkey.
But do you know for sure that she knows?
She knows, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So she's absolutely in love with this. And then I'm doing this thing. And then the monkey starts doing things that's making me laugh. Like, this is crazy. So, and then Libby's like, what are we going to do? We can't just leave it here now. And I thought, well, what are we going to do? And then I bought it for her as a surprise, and I gave it to her. Okay. We still have Mikey the monkey.
Okay.
Okay, he's in our room.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mikey the monkey went to Australia, Canada, Hawaii.
Holy shit.
Has been to the Carolinas, Virginia, Indiana, Kentucky. I mean, good Lord.
Mikey the monkey has been, he's well-traveled.
He has been to more places than most Americans. I know. Okay.
Yeah.
And like when we were in Australia, we went to Ayers Rock, the giant rock out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I walking over, I got this puppet on my hand, and guy goes, what the hell is that? You know, in an Australian accent. Yeah. And I said, it's Mikey the monkey. And I just looked at him like, you got a problem? Yeah. He used to have an email, MikeyTheMonkey@Hotmail.com. And he would regularly email Libby.
Okay.
And she, oh, honey, how are you today? And she would, she'd email him back.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kids love Mikey the monkey.
Okay.
Because when we go on vacation, still, I'll be packing the car. Next thing you know, you go out there, Mikey the monkey sitting on the steering wheel.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
And I would, who let the monkey out of the house?
Mm.
Is that Mike? Ah, silly monkey. Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. You're listening to Irritable Dad Syndrome, Cincinnati's comedy podcast.
The Great Wall of China was originally built to keep Chuck Norris out.
Stump, I did finish Better Call Saul. I love Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul was incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm working my way through Breaking Bad again now.
Yeah, see, I want to do that too. And I'm going to watch it with Jacob. I think I'm going to watch it with Jacob this summer.
I'm at the part Jesse got kicked out of his house. He just got the apartment where the
Jane.
He just got the apartment with right next to Jane. She doesn't know who he is yet, really.
Right.
And Walt and Skyler, boy, they're going through it. This is the part where she does the thing where she won't talk to him,
mm-hmm.
and she just leaves. And he's like, where are you going? Out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a guy who was so talented as he was horrible at lying.
Yeah.
He was a horrible liar.
But the
so unconvincing.
Now that we're a few years now away from both series, I remember when Breaking Bad finished and I started watching Better Call Saul, when that started, I thought, there's no way that they're going to be able to tell a story as good as Breaking Bad or finish it as good. And I still think Breaking Bad is the top.
Yes.
But boy, Better Call Saul does.
It was close.
A hell of a
good
job.
It was close.
Job.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
That final episode of Better Call Saul was.
Yeah. Tied everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you consider, what was the Jesse Pinkman movie?
El Camino. Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only...
All that did was make me miss Breaking Bad, though.
I know.
I mean, the whole time. It's like, oh, that's where they did the thing. And the,
I know.
That's where Todd lived, that weird...
I know. God, I hated Todd. Hated him. Mm. But I still... Honestly, they could do a series with Skyler and her sister.
Purple Lady.
Purple Lady.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Marie.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's like Hank...
Hank and Gomi.
Walt Jr.,
Aren't they making another? Is there a Hank and Gomi?
I haven't heard anything about that. I know they appeared in one episode of Better Call Saul.
Hank is doing something Breaking Bad related.
No, this really?
I think so. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad, I stood up and yelled at the TV screen, no.
No, God, please, no, no.
Yeah, when something happens to Hank Schrader. God.
We were watching it along with everything, and I was so pissed. I couldn't sleep that night. The episode before that,
mm-hmm.
it ends with the start of the thing that leads to...
Mm-hmm.
That they just because remember they just in the episode that starts and they just end the episode.
Do you think that in those if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, just hang up now.
It's 40 years old.
Yeah. Do you think in those moments before Hank Schrader died, do you think he forgave Walt when Walt dropped and said, "No, absolutely no, I'll give you all this money. He won't tell. He'll keep a secret." No, he is family. You cannot do that because he's family. When Walt was pleading, just begging, absolutely, to save Hank, do you think Hank forgave him in that moment? Do you think he realized?
I think Hank knew
mm-hmm.
that Walt was, he said, you're the smartest guy I ever know. How can you be this stupid?
You're too stupid to know that he made this decision 5 minutes ago. I think
he knew that Walt had stepped into his world and had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
And so I don't think forgiveness comes into it. I think it's like, I don't know how to put it. Mm-hmm. It's like if somebody you know does something really stupid,
right?
You know they're doing it for the right reason, but they're doing something really stupid. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness doesn't really come into it.
Yeah.
I think he just saw it as, you're an idiot. Did I answer your question?
Not really, maybe. Yeah.
Who died? Did someone die near?
Hank and Gomez.
No, I know they did. I don't think anyone close to them died. I know who died?
Mike,
the plane of the two planes of people.
Yeah.
All the informants mm-hmm. in the prisons.
The two, the twins, the guys in the silver suits.
Yeah.
Tried to kill Hank in the parking lot.
Now that might have.
That was badass.
That was, my Hank was God. The God. Man.
My, yes.
Hank kind of annoyed me the first time I watched Breaking Bad, but once that happened,
yeah.
Hank became a hero. Mm-hmm. And then the second time I watched Breaking Bad, now I'm like, every time Hank's on the screen, I'm like, yeah.
I mean, it's like,
It's a mineral.
Vince Gilligan.
Marie, it's a mineral.
Yeah.
I yell along with him.
Yeah. Walter White is doing all these horrible things. He is the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you root for him. And then Hank is the good guy, the cop.
Yeah.
Trying to stop him from doing, but you see the good guy's the bad guy.
It flips you.
It's amazing.
And it's the thing I love so much about Breaking Bad. I'm a sucker for the crime drama where you see somebody go up to the top of the bad.
Oh, the character arc. Yeah.
Carlito's Way is one of my favorite movies mm-hmm. because of that. Well, that's kind of a different.
Well, I saw it, but I don't remember anything about it. I saw it.
He gets right to he achieved his goal, and he's like just getting on this last train, and mm-hmm. he's on the gravy train. He gets killed right before he gets on the train.
Yeah.
Spoiler for a 50-year-old movie or however mm-hmm. old that movie is. But Breaking Bad gets me because it's that, like rising mm-hmm. through the ranks, going from this teacher in the Pontiac Aztec, where the hell he's driving, looking like a dork.
It's an Aztec.
Up to, by the end, it's almost hard to imagine it's the same actor.
Yeah.
Like if you watch the final episode of Breaking Bad and you go back and you watch the first episode, it's like, that's not even the same dude.
Right.
Each time he's making a decision, it's like
it makes it a little bit more.
I'm with you. There's a point. It's like at what episode did you go, I don't know if I would do that, Walt?
Well, I remember
they made the first batch. You can understand why he made the first batch.
Yes.
And then that exposed him to Crazy Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to kill them because they tried to kill him.
Right.
But now he's got this loose end. And now he has
to kill the guy in the basement.
Now he has to kill Crazy Eight in cold blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's gone down another level. He can't tell Skyler what he's done.
No.
Like each of the decisions, you see why he did it. But it's like, dude, at what point do you turn around and go back the other way?
I remember thinking, why didn't they just stop? And then you watch it again. It's like, you know, Skyler gave away all the money. And he's laying there, you gave away all the money.
Every time I watch it, I see something new. Like this most recent watch, he's manipulating Jesse from the very beginning. Almost like they're like equal partners for like maybe mm-hmm. one or two episodes. And then you get past Crazy Eight and you get into Tuco land when Walt shaves his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts clearly manipulating Jesse. And it gets mm-hmm. worse and worse.
Right. But there was that scene where Walt was out. And then Jesse came back to him and got him back in.
Yeah.
It's like, he was done. And Jesse said, one more time.
Yeah.
One more time, Mr. White.
Yeah.
Come on, bitch. Come on.
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah.
And he's Italian.
The episode that haunts me. What the hell's her name? Jesse's girlfriend.
Jane. Yeah.
Like, what would you do in that moment? You've got less than a minute to decide.
Right.
You're either saving her life or you're just not saving her life.
Right.
He didn't kill her.
Right.
He just didn't save her life.
Right.
It's like,
What about the flower that the little kid got hold of?
I can't get behind Walt there.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, I can't get behind Walt on any of it, but you can see how somebody can.
Yeah.
Right.
The one where it's like just goes completely dark, off the rails dark, is the kid that happens upon him and Todd just goes, at the train.
And Todd looks like what? And
that is one of the best episodes of the whole series because they're at the top. They just did a train robbery of this thing. And they're like, you know, they're headbutting and fist bumping.
Walt comes home and Skyler's like, what'd you do today? Saul Drex, no, we robbed a train.
Yeah.
drops the mic. You know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you another TV show that rivals Breaking Bad with a character arc, and that was Schitt's Creek.
Okay. I've never seen it. I've heard it's really good.
In season one of Schitt's Creek, you can't stand any of them. I mean, it's like, it's funny.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like you're watching it because it has a stupid title, and it's almost borderline just toilet humor.
Yeah.
But the more that show happens, the more they evolve and grow and mature.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, I mean, that show won every Emmy show, directing, writing, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress.
Euphemistic names.
It won like everything. The last year they was nominated for Emmy Awards, and it deserved every single one of them. But yeah, the characters who you could not stand, you loved all of them.
Another, you just remind me, Game of Thrones. Jaime Lannister is the most evil son of a bitch.
Yeah.
In the first episode, and then by the end of the series, he's like a hero. You're like, you're like, every time Jamie's on the screen, you're like, yeah, go. Wait, you pushed a kid off of thing.
Sleep with your sister.
You're banging your sister, and you just,
Hey. Yeah.
By the way, I think I told you I'm reading Game of Thrones. I'm going to try to get through the book series.
Right.
And boy, the more I read of Joffrey, the less I care for him.
I hated him.
Little Norm MacDonald.
You know, I don't care for that guy.
Oh, he's a douche in the books. Yeah. He's even more of I think it was on Reddit or one of these people were just like talking about what a horrible person this kid was. And then somebody pointed out, he's a really good actor. You're supposed to hate him.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
And they showed clips of him like giving interviews, and he's really a nice, well, now he's an adult, but he was a nice kid. He's like.
Well, it's like Todd on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's taken me very, very long time.
Oh, it's hard to watch.
I can't stand him.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually the movies he's in, you don't like him anymore either. But he was in a series of Fargo that, you warm up to him when he was in Fargo.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all the that happened to him unfairly, and then. So you like him in Fargo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not in anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. But I told Bess because I was reading the other. I know the story of Game of Thrones. I've read the first book before. I've read part of the second book, and then I just quit. And I just watched the series. But I've seen the series all the way through. And I know the general gist. I know that he hasn't finished the books, but they finished the series off of notes of where he said the story was going. So I think
they did do that.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I understand. I think they rushed it. I think that's why it sucks. It's because all of a sudden, you know, Bran, what the hell, where'd Bran come from?
Yeah.
Well, apparently that was supposed to be over multiple seasons and they just said, nah.
Remember that episode where they were fighting at night?
Yeah.
And it was so scary
because
you couldn't tell what was coming at you.
Yeah.
And all these people are bitching, I couldn't see anything. Like, they're fighting at night.
Yeah, yeah.
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 It's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre when she's taking the guy in the wheelchair and they're running through the woods.
It's so hard for them to run. Yeah.
You can't see the trees and all you hear is the chainsaw behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what makes it scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bonehead. God. I couldn't see anything. I'm sitting there with my foot.
But it's
a screen. I can't see nothing.
Like, I know Joffrey's arc. I know what happens to him. I know why he's an ass.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night, I was reading it. I've been reading about an hour before bed, and I couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I told Bess the next morning, I was like, I got so pissed off at Joffrey.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you know what he does. You've already done all that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we officially... puts everything. I still say the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Is still the all time. Oh my lord.
If we had to get rid of every episode and keep Battle of the Bastards. That's okay.
I mean, John pulling out the sword and the whole army's coming at him. I mean, that's close to Frodo.
He had to climb out of the dead people.
Oh, yeah. I was climbing on the seat. I was like this on this seat here.
Yeah.
Because you've been programmed since Braveheart. Oh, yeah, you got to watch out for the swords and the hammers, and a horse might jump over you, but there's going to be so many dead bodies you may drown in the dead. I never even considered that might be a possibility.
You see, because when I watch Walking Dead, and they're just killing zombie after zombie after zombie, and the same thing with Lord of the Rings. You know I never say anything negative about Lord of the Rings.
No.
But how come there aren't bodies piling up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in Lord of the Rings. Like when they keep attacking the castle and they're killing them right after left, they're not piling up.
No.
Where are they going?
Yeah.
Where are all the bodies? They're going somewhere.
Yeah.
But in Game of Thrones, they piled up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On top of Jon Snow.
Yes. All right, guys, we are officially leaving now.
We hope to see you next week on Irritable Dad Syndrome.
If you've enjoyed this episode, then I know you'll enjoy our other episodes. And guess what? They're all available to listen to right now from our website, irritabledadsyndrome.com. Irritable Dad Syndrome is produced and hosted and edited by Mike Odell and Darren Cox. Executive producer, Mike Odell. Head writer, Darren Cox. Announcer, that's me. I'm Dave Lay. Legal representation, Andrew Jackson Gibbons. Segment contributor, Jim Timmerman. Key grip, Steve Farrell. Wardrobe provided by Botany 500.